After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has five roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going down, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. Now that day was the Sabbath. So the Jews said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath, and it is not lawful for you to take up your bed." But he answered them, "The man who healed me, that man who said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" They asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" Now the man who had been healed did not know who Jesus was, for Jesus had withdrawn, as there was a crowd in that place. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had healed him. And this was why the Jews were persecuting Jesus, because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." Amen. Pray with me briefly. Lord, we do seek your blessing on the preaching and hearing of your word. Lord, we trust that your word will not return void this evening. And so we pray for a fresh outpouring of your Spirit, that we might hear the word of God and its power, that we might be led to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be prepared to come to his table and commune with him. Again, Lord, it is our great prayer that the Lord Jesus would have the preeminence among us this evening, that he would be high and lifted up, and with the eyes of faith we would behold his glory. We pray this in his great name. Amen. Well, this morning when we came to the Lord's table, and if you streamed the service online, we thought about the topic of revival at the Lord's table. And now this evening, we're going to consider a related topic, and that is healing at the Lord's table. And I want to give particular attention to Jesus' question to this man in verse 6, when he asks this man who had been paralyzed for 38 years, he asks him, "Do you want to be healed?" We are told that this healing took place at the pool of Bethesda, which means house of mercy or house of grace. And as we saw when we studied John's gospel, John does not put in insignificant details. There is significance to the title of that pool, house of mercy, house of grace. It's appropriate because Jesus is about to show mercy and grace to this helpless man. Now, people have always been superstitious. And that seems to be the case here with this pool, that this pool around, we are told, lay a multitude of invalids. And we read between the lines in the text, and there seemed to be a belief that when the pool was stirred up, whoever could get into the pool would be healed. Now, John tells us, he sets the scene. He said, around these pools lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. And we need to take a moment to imagine this scene. Imagine this multitude of blind, lame, and paralyzed people. Again, if we read between the lines in this man's comment, there was no doubt pushing and shoving when people tried to get down into the pool. And we can only imagine the dirt and filth and the smell around this pool. It was a tragic and depressing scene. Edward Donnelly calls it a pitiful mass of broken, damaged humanity. A pitiful mass of broken, damaged humanity. Blind, lame, paralyzed people. And yet, in the midst of this pitiful mass of broken humanity, stands Jesus Christ, the Savior. The bringer of salvation, the healer, the bringer of new life. And friends, we sit in the same position this evening. We are a pitiful mass of broken, damaged humanity. And yet among us stands Jesus the Savior, the bringer of new life, the one who is pleased to bring his people grace and healing. Now you'll notice how the account focuses on the grace that Jesus showed toward one man. And so let's begin this evening, and you do have an outline on the back of your bulletin, if that would help you follow along. But let's begin by considering his helpless condition. And again, if you were here for our studies through John's Gospel, you will likely remember that this is a common theme throughout the Gospel. When Jesus comes and he ministers to people, he goes out of his way to emphasize just how helpless these people are. And the amazing thing is out of this mass of broken humanity, Jesus comes to this one man. He chooses to shine his grace on this one man. And we are given details in the text that highlight his total helplessness. We're told that he was an invalid, and it was likely some sort of paralysis shown by the fact that he couldn't get down to the pool by himself. We're told he had been like this for 38 years, which tells us this was not something he was going to get better from. And his helplessness, I think, is most of all highlighted by the comment in verse 7 that he had no one to help him. And John seems to be showing us that out of all of these disabled people, that this man was the worst case. Out of this sea of broken, damaged humanity, this man was the worst. He was the most helpless of all. His helplessness is highlighted by one final detail. Look at verse 13. We are told that even after he is healed physically by Jesus, he didn't know who Jesus was. Here he was in the presence of the Savior of the world, and he did not know who he was. Now, these miracles in John's Gospel are called signs because they always point us to a greater reality. They are not just something that Jesus did 2,000 years ago for one person, but they have enduring truths for us. And they're here to teach us about ourselves, about our need for Christ, and what he is pleased to do for helpless sinners. You see, this man's total and utter helplessness, and if you're filling in the blanks, this is the first one, it shows our total inability, our total helplessness apart from Jesus Christ. The emphasis is that in the midst of all of these disabled people, they were at least able to get down to the pool. Here we have this man who was completely unable. And this is a picture of us apart from Jesus Christ. Total and utterly helpless, unable to do anything to help ourselves. so blind that we couldn't even recognize Jesus. The Holy Spirit is teaching us that this is the condition of fallen humanity apart from Jesus Christ. But these signs are not just meant for unbelievers. They're meant for believers as well. They're meant to strengthen our faith. They're meant to help us to overcome sin and grow in Christ. And so this says something about us as well. We may have come to Christ in a saving way, and yet as we thought about this morning, we will never arrive spiritually in this life. We are still a damaged mass of broken humanity. And there are things at times we are very blind to. At times we may feel like we're limping along in our walk with Christ. We may feel paralyzed to do good or to resist sin. But today, like Bethesda, Jesus is present. And He comes to us, a pathetic mass of broken, damaged people, and He comes to us with His healing power and His grace. And as He comes to us, He asks a question. This evening, we have come into His presence. We are preparing to come to His table. And it's as though Jesus sits at His table and looks directly at us and asks us a question. And it may not seem like it at first glance, but it is a direct question. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Now, I want you to think about this question in its context for a moment. Here is a man in total misery. He had been paralyzed for 38 years. He was the worst of these invalids. And Jesus comes to him and says, "Do you want to be healed?" I think if we really think about it, it's a surprising question. And if you really think about it, it may even seem insulting at first read. You know, we wouldn't go into a hospital where someone we knew was lying in a hospital bed suffering. Would we really say to him, well, do you want to get better? It can seem insulting. And yet Jesus didn't ask useless questions and He didn't insult people. The word "want" is given particular emphasis in the Greek, and I think we could translate it this way. Do you really want to be healed? Do you really want to be healed? You see, with this man and with us, Jesus is getting at something deeper. And I think this is further underlined by this man's evasive response. Notice that he doesn't actually answer that question. We would expect an enthusiastic yes from someone in this condition. But instead he says, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going down, another steps down before me." Now you'll notice that that's not an answer. That's really a reason why he hadn't gotten better. That's an excuse that he made of why he was the way he was. There's something more here. Something deeper going on. Something deeper that Jesus is getting at. And that is, there was something in this man that did not want to be healed. Maybe after 38 years, he had simply lost the will to get better. Maybe he had just gotten used to the way he was. It was just normal for him. And I think there's another factor here. The scholars and historians tell us that at the feasts in Jerusalem, it was possible for beggars to make a very good living. And you'll notice in verse 1, John tells us that this took place during a feast. At those feasts, Jerusalem was flooded with hundreds of thousands of pilgrims. And we need to remember that those were people that were held morally hostage by the Pharisees. And so if a disabled person asked them for money, they would have felt compelled to give it to them. And so it is likely that for this man, the prospect of getting better would have presented him with more challenges than if he had stayed the way he was. Jesus is putting his finger on the issue with this man and with us. This man was happy managing his disease his own way, and he didn't really want to change because it would cost him. Now, does that resonate with us? He was happy managing his problems his own way, and he didn't want to change because it would cost him. You see, this question to this man and the man's answer reveals our unwillingness. See, in our natural state, not only are we unable to come to Christ, but we are unwilling. In other words, in our natural condition, we not only lack the ability to receive Christ, but we lack the willingness. We didn't want Him. We didn't see His beauty and His grace. And if you're a Christian here this evening, we need to remember this. It is only because Christ, by His sovereign grace, gave you both the ability and the willingness to embrace Him. See, this man was both unable and he was unwilling, and yet Jesus comes to him in His grace and He heals him. You see, friends, this question, do you really want to be healed? That's the question that Jesus asks us in the gospel every day. Do you want to be healed? He's able to transform our lives through the forgiveness of sins, through giving repentance, through working in us greater holiness, greater obedience. And right now, we're in the place where Jesus delights to do this. It's, as we read at the end of the text, it is the Sabbath, and Jesus is at work. He delights to transform us, to heal us at His table. But the direct question to us is, do you want Him to? Do you really want to be healed? You see, Jesus confronts us with this question every day in the gospel, and He comes to us. And at times, like this man, we simply evade the question. And there may be sins in our lives that have been there for many years. We may have simply lost the will to strive against sin. We may have just gotten used to certain sins. And sometimes we make excuses for why we haven't gotten better. And like this man, forsaking sin can come at great cost to us. There may be, as Jesus said, a right eye that needs to be gouged out, a right hand that needs to be cut off, a relationship that needs to be ended, something that needs to be changed. In other words, there may be things in our life that we need to make a radical break with, but we simply don't want to. And Jesus comes to us tonight and He puts us on the spot. He's aggressive with us. He asks this question, do you really want to be healed? You see, the question can reveal our unwillingness. Not wanting to grow in holiness, not wanting to be more sanctified. But thankfully, this does not depend on our strength, because just as Jesus did for this man who was unable and unwilling, Jesus came to him in His grace and healed him. If we look at verse 14, we then see salvation and we see an exhortation, and we see really a promise of sanctification. In other words, in Jesus' declaration, I think we see evidence of true saving faith. And in his exhortation, I think we can see a promise that Jesus will sanctify us. Now, many of the commentators are not very nice to this man. They say there's no evidence of his faith. They say he doesn't thank Jesus. They accuse him of basically going and ratting Jesus out to the Jews. But I think if we look closely, I think we see true faith. Jesus commanded this man to take up his bed and walk. That would have required faith. Put yourself in this man's shoes. You're paralyzed for 38 years, and Jesus says, get up and walk. He could have easily responded. He could have laughed at Jesus and said, that's ridiculous. And when Jesus commands him this, notice that he didn't say, well, let me lie here for a few minutes and just see how I feel. But it says, at once, he was healed and he took up his bed and walked. And when Jesus finds him in the temple, I believe Jesus' words to this man show us that he gave him saving faith. Jesus says, see, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing may happen to you. Because we should hear those words, see, you are well, as a sovereign declaration by Jesus Christ, him pouring out saving faith on this man. Jesus seems to be indicating that this man's sickness was just a shadow of the eternal consequences of sin. And he is saying, I have saved you. I have healed you. Now go and sin no more. And in that exhortation, Jesus is saying to him, by my power I have saved you. And by that same power I will sanctify you. I think Gordon Keddie is one of the few that get this right. He says this miracle certainly attests and encapsulates the very essence of the gospel of grace. It was sovereignly given. It was attended by the exercise of faith on the part of the recipient. And it issued in a radically new life for him. You see, Jesus' words to this man shows the transforming and healing power of Jesus Christ. This is Jesus giving this man faith. He's saying, by my grace, I have changed you physically. Now by my grace, I am changing you spiritually. You were unable, unwilling physically. You were also unable and unwilling spiritually. But I have given you life. Now go and sin no more. And friends, that's really what the gospel of grace does. In it, the Lord Jesus saves us by his life and death, and he gives us his Spirit to live within us so that we are enabled to say yes to Jesus and no to sin. And that's really the significance of the table to which we will come in a few moments. The bread and the wine are sacramental symbols of what Jesus has done to heal you by his life and his death. The very act of us taking the bread and taking the wine is to say yes to Jesus. To say, yes, I do want to be healed. But Jesus, in his kindness, he knows how weak we are. He knows how very often we lack the willingness to progress in the Christian life. And as we thought about this morning, this is the grace in the sacrament. He knows that we're weak. He knows that we need this. It's meant to encourage us, to assure us of His love. And tonight, as we come to the table, and the Lord Jesus presents Himself to us, His broken body, His blood that is shed for us, it's as though He looks at us and He says, "See, you are well. By my wounds you have been healed." And when we come in faith, it becomes a way in which the Lord strengthens us and builds us up in faith. It turns us from our sins. It increases our desire for holiness. It increases our desire to walk more faithfully in our service to Christ. And so friends, we all need healing just as we all need revival. And tonight, there is healing for you at the table. And as you come with the eyes of faith, see your Savior. See Him in love, stooping low to His weak disciples, saying to us, "See, you are well. Now in the power of my Spirit, go and sin no more." Let's pray together. Our Lord God, we thank You for Your grace and Your mercy towards us. You do indeed pity us as a pitiful mass of broken, damaged humanity. Forgive us, O God, for we are so often preoccupied with physical healing. And that causes us to ignore the greater healing that You offer to us every day in the gospel. The healing that Christ brings to us by forgiveness of sins, by restoration to Him. But we acknowledge that we so often are unwilling to progress in holiness. But we are not willing to pay the cost of forsaking sin and following our Savior. But that so often we attempt to deal with our sin in our own way. That we thank You for this table. We pray, Lord, that You would show us Christ in it. That we would be assured of His love. That we would be assured of the healing that He accomplished at Calvary. But may we seek Him in it. May we simply come and receive His grace and His mercy and the power of His Spirit and leave this table and go and sin no more. And we thank You for Christ and Him crucified. We ask these things in His name. Amen.